Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls in just a few moments. As always, our contact information, jot it down if you don't have it on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Right to the phone lines. First up, Ron. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona, on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. Do you think that the prophecy of the apostasy in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, where it says that the believers won't endure sound doctrine, they want to have their ears tickled and accumulate teachers of their own desire and then turn away their ears from truth to myth, is being fulfilled today?
No, I don't. I mean, in fact, if you read further on, what Paul says to Timothy is, but you keep your head in all circumstances, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So he's pointing out that the apostasy is taking place at that very time. And I think this underscores a salient point. There are ebbs and flows in all of human history. In other words, there are times of rebellion and there are times of great revival. And Paul describes this going on until the time that Jesus appears a second time, very much like a woman in labor. The pains ebb and subside, and sometimes they increase, and that continuum goes on until there is the new birth. And of course, that new birth from a biblical standpoint is the earth that now groans in travail is going to deliver a new universe that no longer bears the curse. So the old order of things will have passed away and all things will have become new. So the apostasy that they experienced in that epoch of time that Paul was warning Timothy about is an apostasy that is relevant for us today. I think the other principle that you ought to keep in mind is that none of the Bible was written to us. It was all written for us, but none of it was written to us. So when Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, it's for him in that epoch of time. When he's writing to the Romans, it is to Roman believers. When he's writing in Revelation, John is speaking to the seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Again, they're writing to people in that epoch of time. All of it is relevant for us in our epoch of time.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Phil next, listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, do you believe in the young earth theory or the old earth theory? And if God has all power, wouldn't he be able to, I'm speaking of the young earth theory now, this is the way I kind of lean toward, although it's not a major issue for me, I kind of lean toward the young earth theory. Since God has all power, do you feel that if he chose to create this world and all that's in it, 6,000 years ago, that he would have been able to?
Well, certainly, but who would believe in a textbook that is intentionally filled with lies? If you look at the universe itself, and we ought to look at not only special revelation, but also general revelation, it looks as though it is very old. Everything that is perceptible by the senses points in that direction. For example, there are things that do not require any conjecture whatsoever. You can look in the night sky. You can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. You can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. And you can also then scientifically measure how long it takes for something like that to take place. And that is measured not in thousands of years, it is measured in billions of years. So while humanity is fairly recent in origin, in the big scheme of things, the universe itself is quite clearly very, very old. Now, God could have created light in transit. He could have created the universe with the appearance of age. But again, it begs the question I asked earlier, would you believe in a textbook intentionally filled with lies? And I think the answer is no. Not only that, but remember that science could only have arisen in a Christian context. The Greeks were very wise. They codified the laws of logic. But yet they believed in a universe that was ministered by moody gods, and therefore they could have never done good science. It was only when Christian thinkers said, no, God is not capricious, he's ordered, he's left his imprimatur on the universe, and we can learn to think his thoughts after him, that science developed within the context of Christian universities. So I think we need to be good students not only of Scripture, but we also need to be good students of science. We're called not only to be those who do appropriate work in terms of the art and science of biblical interpretation, but in terms of the interpretation of God's general revelation as well. By the way, if you look at sequential layers of ice rings in Antarctica, even that portends a universe far older than 6,000 years. But I like what you said at the very beginning in the prologue to your question. This is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We ultimately do not have to divide over. But is it an important issue? Yes, because ultimately we want to reach a world with the gospel message as opposed to repel them. And there's nothing whatsoever in the book of Genesis that links us to a 6,000 year universe. In fact, Genesis 1 and 2 is not written with chronology in mind, although there is a chronology, but rather chirology. In other words, God's purposes in creation. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Parker, Colorado on the web. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Appreciate your ministry. Anyways, my question is on asceticism. There are certain Christians, and I just got an argument with one of them recently, that think that a Christian should not watch non-Christian movies. It should not be involved in non-Christian activities. Now, I agree with that to an extent, but at the same time, God has given people interests, and our primary focus of our life is to glorify God. But I mean, what's the harm in like surfboarding or skateboarding or playing video games and watching movies,
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think that there's not a square inch of the entire universe over which God does not cry, "This is mine." And it is unfortunate but true that many years ago, Christians abdicated the arts. They abdicated so many different areas of society, including politics. And when we wanted to come back, everybody was saying, "Who are you?" We should be involved in excellence in every sphere of human activity. But having said that, I think it's also very important for us to exercise living disciplines, which is to say, all of us only have a certain amount of time and energy, and we have to use that time and energy and the talent that God has given us in a very judicious fashion. And the most judicious of all fashions is to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ, which is to say, a learner or follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, in the process, we must seek to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. He imitated Jesus Christ. And he compels us, vicariously to imitate him as he imitated Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means that we partake in living disciplines such as prayer. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. All too often, we are bombarded by the invasive sounds of the world, and as a result, we cannot hear the sounds and a voice from another place. So in our everlasting busyness, we must never fail to put first things first. And the first thing that puts everything else into perspective and priority is to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial. And as we go to break, do remember you can find a lot of the resources that I talk about on the broadcast on the web at equip.org. Be right back in just a few moments.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org.
or call 888-7000-CRI.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott, listening in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
To tell you the truth, I want to ask you a question. I have a daughter that is leaving her husband for a woman, and we are Christians, and to be honest with you, Hank, I'm really having a lot of difficulty dealing with this issue.
Well, I mean, I think we have to deal with it as we would anyone who is lost and seeking their way. We need to demonstrate love. This is precisely what Jesus Christ did. He modeled love. He spoke the truth in love, but he did speak the truth. And I think we should recapture this zeal for all those who are lost. We should recapture this zeal, certainly for those who are engaged in homosexual practice. That means speaking, acting out of love and not out of hate, and continuing to communicate the good news about God's rule. And then throwing a party when someone repents and returns home and reintegrate them fully into communities of faith. So I think we need to, again, model the behavior of Jesus Christ in this regard and recognize that we were in the same place when we were lost. We were in the place of living life by the dictates of our own will, but as believers, we now say, no, the North Star is the Word of God. The reason we adhere to the Word of God is we can demonstrate that it's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and we recognize that in His Word, He sets parameters around our lives, not because He is a cosmic killjoy, but rather because He wants our joy to be complete.
Right, I understand that. All right. I sure appreciate it, Hank. Thank you so much.
Well, Scott, thank you for giving us a call today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mandela next, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Mandela.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. I just had a question for you. I just wanted to hear what your belief and your study and what you have come across in terms of what does the Bible have to say, or the biblical view on being slain in the Spirit, or you know, the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to know what your thought is on that, on the biblical view, or if you what you've come across in your study and what you believe about that.
Yeah, well, I've written a whole book dealing with this called Counterfeit Revival, but in principle, this is what I would say in sum. Nowhere do you find a practice like being slain in the Spirit in the ministry of Jesus Christ or the apostles. Secondly, the phenomenon itself is explainable by natural processes. Thirdly, I would say it is found very frequently in the world of the occult. Fourthly, I would say that from a biblical perspective, we are called to be alert and sober-minded, not those who work themselves into an altered state of consciousness and become hypersuggestible, willing to believe virtually anything that enters their minds, no matter how mundane or outlandish. And this is in concert with a lot of what has been said throughout the ages when these phenomenon became particularly prevalent during quote-unquote times of revival. Wesley, for example, attributed that phenomenon to the simplicity of people and to the ploys of Satan. And even the dictionary of Pentecostal and charismatic movements says that within the discipline of sociology, slain in the spirit might fall under the general rubric of possession trance, and it is generally acknowledged, and this is, by the way, a Pentecostal resource, it is generally acknowledged that in addition to God, the source of the experience can be a purely human response to autosuggestion, group peer pressure, or simply a desire to experience the phenomenon. And then they go on to say that it is unquestionable that there is no biblical evidence for the experience as normative in the Christian life. Scripture plainly offers no support for the phenomenon. That, again, from the Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movements.
Right. That's very interesting you mention all that, because, you know, I just personally in my study, you know, going, I've been just wanting to look for it in the Bible, and I just haven't seemed to come across any occurrence of this. I've always wondered, where in history did this begin in our movement of the church?
Yeah, well, you know, there are those that say you can find it in the Bible. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus displayed the effulgence of his divine nature for a millisecond, and they fell backwards onto the ground, and they say they were slain in the spirit. But, of course, when you read Scripture this way, you have a very convoluted sense of what the Scripture is teaching. Because people today in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements or the Word of Faith movement that are showcasing slain in the Spirit are saying that this is falling under the presence of God, or this is a blessed experience. Of course, with respect to the soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't a blessing at all. It was a judgment.
Wow. That was very interesting that you mentioned. I really appreciate you expanding this onto me. It's been something that's been on my mind and my heart a lot. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Mandela. Thank you for your call. Next up is Rich. He's listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Hank. God bless you. I just can't tell you what a blessing you've been to my wife and I over the years. We've just been, you're just a wealth of good information that we really appreciate it. So you're always in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, my question is on end times. You know, there's a lot of people who have actually made an industry out of predicting what's going to happen. And I did read your book, The Apocalypse Code, but it was kind of, maybe it was a little over my head. Because it was almost like a textbook. I didn't really get a picture of what you think the chronology of events are going to be. Like, there'll be the rapture and then the rise of the one world government. And just, I don't know how to interpret what
there's a reason for that, Rich, and that is that the Bible says nothing whatsoever about the rise of a one world government in the 21st century. It says nothing whatsoever in the entirety of its text about a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, the idea was first posited and popularized in the 19th century. So it's a very new modern idea, and therefore the Bible doesn't deal with it at all. The fact of the matter is, the reason that people do not know and constantly come up with false predictions is that they're reading something into the text of Scripture as opposed to reading the Bible for all it's worth, or mining the Bible for all its wealth. So they take great and glorious passages that have to do with the blessed hope of resurrection, and they interpret those passages in light of the notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, with two distinct destinies, therefore necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming followed 7 years later by the second coming of Jesus Christ, whereby someone can predict exactly when the second coming will take place. Now, in biblical orthodoxy, I don't think that there is any place for being able to tell when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time, only that he will appear a second time. So there's nothing whatsoever that we have by which we can tell when that will occur. What we know is that when he does appear a second time, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. we will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we will forever have God himself with us. In other words, the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will no longer be separate, but conjoined. And that's what John says in the book of Revelation. God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. And that's what we long for and hope for. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it means this. It means that we must prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off, and be prepared as though he might come in the next millisecond, because we simply do not know when Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And you're right, people have been making a cottage industry out of telling people that they do know, and they have been 100% wrong 100% of the time. What happens when people make these kinds of declarations is they leave everyone in the lurch, even their own movements in the lurch. It is decidedly dangerous, and it is unbiblical. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.